So one of the perks of going to Bible college in a city as opposed to a small town in central Saskatchewan, especially for a small town kid like me, was that there was a McDonald's like a half block away from the school. And that was really, really handy. It was incredibly convenient on the days when the menu in the dining room was, well, what shall we say, less than appealing. And, you know, the day that gave McDonald's the biggest boost was when the cook put up scotch eggs. Right? It's like scotch eggs. If you don't know what scotch eggs are, I'm going to describe this for you right now. They are hard-boiled eggs, Lou's right there, hard-boiled eggs wrapped in pork sausage. The other half of the room is now gone. Coated in breadcrumbs and deep-fried. One recipe site calls them tasty and delicious, a tasty and delicious picnic treat. I'm thinking a delicious and tasty picnic treat for the ants. This is what I'm thinking. But anyway, so you know, often, right, there were late lunchtime runs. I'll happily pay the 50-cent fine for not showing up for lunch if they catch me. The 50-cent fine for not showing up for lunch so I don't have to eat scotch eggs. But one of my classmates is kind of a little bit of an interesting character. One of my classmates, he was from northern Saskatchewan, again, small town, and he, remember these styrofoam McDonald's containers? Do you remember those? On the one hand, it's brilliant, right? Sandwich on one side, fries on the other, ketchup in the corner. It's all neat, clean, it's all wonderful, right? And then we just learned what styrofoam was doing to the environment, and McDonald's, you know, switched out of that. But my classmate started collecting styrofoam containers and taping them to the wall of his dorm room. Now see, now it's very, this is all very weird to me because at our school, clean rooms were an expectation, and there would be, usually on Thursdays, but there would be room inspections, and your beds had to be made, your floors had to be clean, your room could not be look like a pigsty. It had to be clean. And so there were all of these different rules, things that we had to do to keep our rooms clean, but apparently, somehow, no one thought to write, you can't tape garbage to your walls. So this is no joke, by the time we get to the end of first semester, because like he's gone just from saving his own containers and his roommate's containers, right, he's actually gone to picking up containers out of the garbage, bringing them home and washing them and taping them to his wall. So he began to refer to his room at the end of first semester as the garbage chamber. Right? The things you do in Bible college, right? So you open his room, it smells like the vent at McDonald's, that vented air that you get in the parking lot. That's what it smells like in there. He's got, right? It's just all gross. But he referred to it as the garbage chamber. And so the reason I'm telling you this story is because normally we do things in series. And so normally, right, I just kind of look at what we've, you know, mapped out and planned out and prayed out for, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks in advance. But on days when we do communion, it's kind of like open season, a little bit free agent, kind of do whatever you want. So when I started talking to the Lord earlier this week about, what are we doing on Sunday? What's that going to look like? Doug's away, Claudio's away, I can't hand this off to somebody. What's it going to look like? The word I get is messy. I was like, Sunday's going to be messy. Oh, good. Oh, good. Right, but I start there. I start with messy. Now, I know that messy isn't the word. It's not like I'm going to preach on messy this morning, even though we're going to talk about messy. I'm not going to preach on messy. It's just more, it's my seed thought. It's what kind of where I jumped off on. And so there are really, if you stop and think about it, there are a lot of very kind of obvious lessons and applications around messy. But messy took me to my classmate's garbage chamber, and I began to think about how willing I am to pick up other people's garbage and paste it on the walls of my life. I mean, I know I'm not alone in that. I'm just taking the rap for everybody else that's in the room. So So I know that I'm really very prone to that. I can pick up other people's garbage. I can pick up other people's trash, what they said, what they did, what they planned, you know, whatever. I can stick all of that on the wall. And then whenever my brain is in a place where I'm undisciplined or I'm overtired or there's other factors that are making me kind of a little crazy, well, I can just start to replay highlight videos of all the terrible things other people did to me. Right? And so for me, this week, this is kind of my journey. I've had an afternoon where I just had some quiet time, taking some personal time, and I'm working in the yard, and I'm listening to a podcaster, a leadership guy that I like to listen to. He's a Christian guy, and he says this in his podcast. He's talking about the price for your will, right? How much is your will worth to you? How much is your drive worth to you? And so he says, listen, he said, I fully understand that the price for my forgiveness, the price for my future, the price for my destiny is fully paid for, and yours can be too. And I'm, you know, digging away in the garden. It's like, yes, thank you, Jesus. You've paid the price for my sin. And it's all so wonderful. I think I'm just having this moment with Jesus. What I don't know is I'm being set up. I don't know what's going on, but I know that I'm being set up. And so that was maybe on Thursday. You know, Friday is kind of a normal day for me. Saturday morning, my crazy train comes into the station, right? And it's like, let's play the replay videos. Let's kind of go on the roller coaster one more time. Let's go to the roller coaster picture if we can. We'll be on track then. But I'm looking at the crazy train. It's rolling into the station. I can get on or I can get off. I can get on or I can get off. And as I'm doing that, I'm listening to another leadership podcast, a guy named Brendan Burchard, and again another Christian guy, but he does leadership and personal development stuff. And every day he drops a 30-minute podcast. So I'm listening to that on Saturday morning, and as I'm getting ready to go on my bike ride, and he says this in the podcast, he goes, how many things in your life are taking up valuable space in your heart and mind right now that you could free up if you just let go of them? So I'm there in our bedroom, and we've got a skylight that right now, right, I get the sun at 5 a.m. in the morning. Not that I'm complaining, it's a perk of summer. But I'm getting the sun at 5 a.m. in the morning, but I look up, and I smile at heaven, and it's like, I know what you're doing. I get you. I know what you're doing. But I'm still not, because, you know, I'm still not connecting the dots. Still not putting it all together. So then I go out on my bike ride, and I ride through Machos, and I'm riding down Happy Valley Road. The name of the road and the irony of what I'm about to tell you is not lost on me. I'm rolling down Happy Valley Road. And as I'm rolling along, again, the crazy train starts to roll, and I'm starting to kind of spin out on these things for no good reason other than I'm just not disciplining myself. I'm not taking my thoughts captive. I'm just kind of rolling along. And God speaks to me. God speaks to me in that moment. And he says this. Let's take me to the next slide, please. You love that there is forgiveness for all your sins, don't you? Oh, Jesus, so thankful for forgiveness. You love that my mercy is great and my grace is free for you, don't you? Oh, I'm so thankful for your mercy. Oh, I'm so thankful for your grace. Take me to the next slide. And he says this. You also like to play the highlight reel of other people's sins against you, like you have no highlight reel of your own. And then I get this high-speed reel of the things in my life that I have been most ashamed of, most embarrassed of, that I knew hurt other people, that I knew grieved the heart of God. And that starts to play. And it's like, enough, enough, enough. Point made. Point made. And then I'm kind of feeling ashamed. And then I'm feeling like, oh, what a jerk I am. And then the Lord says, you know, I can help you with that. I can help you with that. You don't have to be hung up on what other people have done to you. You don't have to be caught in this place where you're playing highlight reels all the time. And he starts to speak to me. And he says something like this. I mean, I'm paraphrasing for purposes this morning, but he says this, look at, replaying, reviewing the sin people have committed against you only cements unforgiveness in your heart. Let's back it up one. It only cements unforgiveness in your heart. Every time I remember the terrible things that people did to me, it just cements unforgiveness. It's just like, pour another load of concrete on that. Make sure that nothing ever cracks that out of my life. Every time I do it, that's what happens. Again, I'm saying me, but I know I'm not the only person in the room. And reminding God of the sins of other people doesn't help me get past my own pain and hurt. Now we'll go to the stick figure person, and then we're kicking to the slides. We're two slides ahead right now. So again, as I'm riding through Machozen, there are, of course, sheep. This beautiful object lesson, all on Happy Valley Road. So as I'm riding along on my bike, I have this encounter with Jesus. He's speaking to me, right? We're having this conversation. And then I see some sheep, and my brain kicks immediately to Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our rebellion. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's ways to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. All of us have gone astray. All of us have a highlight reel we're not proud of. All of us have a long list of things that we've done and been forgiven of, or could be forgiven of if we chose to be. All of us. And so as I'm riding along and I'm looking at the sheep, I start to ponder Isaiah 53. And I see this. Take me to the next slide, please. He was pierced for our rebellion. Think of the words. Pierced for our rebellion. Crushed for our sins. Beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. The crucifixion was bloody, gory, and messy. Isaiah wrote and he said, we turned our face away from him. We looked away. It was what was hanging on the cross, who was hanging on the cross, and his physical condition was too much for people to bear. So we looked away. We looked away. And then the penny drops for me. The messy crucifixion of Jesus was necessary to deal with the messiness of our lives. Our lives are messy. Our lives are complicated. There are so many moving parts and moving pieces, emotions, trauma, and the list goes on and on and on. And it all spins out in a whole bunch of uncomfortable, awkward, and sometimes messy ways. But he went to the cross for us. He laid down his life for us. He put himself on the line, permitting himself to be beaten and whipped and nailed to a tree for us. The interesting, there's a theological word that's in there, a messy crucifixion / atonement. The atonement is the price that Jesus paid for us. It's the price he paid for our forgiveness. It's the price he paid for our healing. It's the price he paid for our peace and restoration and wholeness as people. Some people unpack that word and they look at it like this. Instead of atonement, they say it's at-one-ment. We are put back together. We are at one with God. Again, our relationship is restored. Our relationship is made right. So this morning, we want to, as has become our practice, we want to take some time to celebrate communion, to remember. Jesus said on the night he was betrayed that we should remember him in this way. And so we are going to remember, and we're going to do that. So worship team, if you can come and kind of give us some background music, or Barb, whoever's coming to help with that. All right, we're gonna worship together. And we're just going to do it the same way. We're not going to have people serve, just the same as what we did last time. Elements are open. When you want to get up and come and partake, you can come and partake. The beauty, I think, of doing communion this way is it reminds us that we're all equal. We all stand, come, and partake, right? You can take the emblems back to your seat if you'd like. If you don't want to partake, you don't want to come forward, you don't have to come forward. Nobody's making you do anything. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, maybe sit this one out. Talk to us later. We'll help you with that. But we want you to partake, and we want you to sit to participate with us. And hold your emblems. Pick them up. Hold your emblems. Go back to your seats. I'll lead us in the memorial time together, and then we're going to spend some time praying over our board and the many requests that are there. Okay? Out of the Message translation. Sometimes it's good for us just to hear. Sorry, Heidi, I didn't mean to rush away on you. No, there, I looked after him. I did, but thanks. Thanks for being sensitive. Sometimes it's good for us to hear the words of Jesus written in a different way. So out of the message, the text reads like this. Let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and passed them on to you. The Master, Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. And then they shared a meal, like a full-on supper or dinner. They shared a meal together. And then after supper, he stands up and he does the same thing with the cup. And he says, "This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me." Let's remember him together. Here's the tag that Paul puts on the end of that. He said, what you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your own words the actions, the words and actions of the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity or doing this often breed contempt. So we want to treasure what we have done today. Back in February, we asked you, we did a whole series on what I'm praying for, and we asked you to write out your requests and put them on the board. And this, for us, has become a symbol, almost a rallying place, where we pray for our brothers and sisters. Some, we don't know what the requests are, nobody looks. But it might be two things. It might be that you've got something on this board that it's already been answered, you want to move over, you just kind of forgotten about it. And if that happens today, you can just pull one off. It doesn't have to be yours because they're all private. Just pull one and move it over. But your request might still be here. You might know exactly what it is and it's still not answered. And so we want to pray for you. Why don't you gather around? We're going to pull this into the middle like we do, like we've done in the last little while. You want to come lay your hand on that board, and we're just going to believe for our friends. Thanks. Take a corner because it gets heavy after a while. All right? Come in close. Come in close. Father, we know these are just, on the one hand, pieces of paper with words on the back. On the other hand, they represent the very felt and real needs of the people who are standing around us, who call City Light home right now. And so our prayer today is that you would stretch forth your mighty arm and you would work and move in in the lives of the people whose requests are written on this board. God, we just read about it, that it's by your stripes we are healed. We just read that the punishment that brought us peace was upon you. We know that you've paid the price for absolutely everything that is written on these cards. And we're asking again, by faith, as your people, that you would come and you would work and you would move and you would minister life. You administer healing, you administer restoration, wholeness. God, you would bring prodigals home, you would meet people that are broken and hurting, you would set people free of addictions. God, you would provide miraculously whatever needs to happen here. We're asking you to do it. And we pray it all together in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. All righty. Yeah. That's good. That's good. George, will you hang that back on the board for me?